Henry Reinga here again with Dr. Roy Clauser. This week, this topic is ontology. So how would you define ontology?
But literally, it means the theory of reality.
Okay. Reality, okay. The whole.
And that's right. But what somebody is after is not the reality of this object or that object or the other.
Okay, right? Okay. So not that.
It's the nature of reality. What's the ultimate nature of the things that exist? And sometimes I explain it to my students by saying that if the area of mathematics and physics and biology and psychology, logic, linguistics, sociology, and so on, all these, if they are all beads on the necklace, then ontology wants to know what's the string.
Okay, so we're back to that string idea. Okay,
what hangs them all together?
That's what ontology is.
Yeah, and to do that, what we want is a characterization of the nature of which all these are aspects. They're all different sides of what.
Okay.
And generally what has happened is in philosophy, because it was begun by pagan thinkers and so on, not by Christians, they took some one of these fields of study and made that kind of a thing the most basic thing there is, and it generates all the rest.
Okay.
So a materialist says there's the purely physical things and they generate everything, whatever. Other physical things that come into being and pass away, these don't. These are the self-existent realities that create everything else. And if there's anything that's non-physical, they generate that too.
Right.
But someone else will say, well, it makes no sense to say that the physical generates, say, logical thought or something.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So they would make logical thought also self-existent, logical laws, and say that matter is that the reality we experience is a matter of the logical laws being imposing order on the matter.
Right.
Some people have held this. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Some people have even said, no, all of reality is really nothing but our sensations.
Oh.
Sights, tastes, touches, smells, and sounds that register in our minds.
Right.
This is pretty weird. One thinker who held that view in the 20th century said, I read about the galaxies, how vast they are, how far away, and so on, but I don't believe it. They are dots of light in my visual field. And that goes back to George.
So that's really George Berkeley.
Oh, George Berkeley, yeah.
Berkeley.
Yeah. It's spelled the same as Berkeley, but the Irish pronunciation would be Berkeley.
Berkeley.
Identified with. He was a bishop of the Church of England in Ireland, if you can imagine such a precarious position. But he sympathized with the Irish people, so he wanted his name pronounced Berkeley.
In the study of ontology, does it really talk much about the mind or thinking?
You can't get into a theory of reality without also invoking or at least making assumptions about theory of knowledge.
Right.
And vice versa. You can't get into the theory of knowledge without assuming that some certain things are real or some are more real than others and so on. That kind of thing is intrinsic to both of them. You get foot in one, you'll get a foot in the other.
Give us, real quickly, the Christian philosophy's ontology according to Hermann Doerr. Just a little teaser, just to get us thinking about that now.
Okay.
How would you describe the Christian philosophy ontology?
Sure. Whereas people who don't know God are prone to take one of the beads of the string, one or two, and say this is really the string, and it explains all the rest, this is what generates the rest. The Christian should begin, Doerr says, by saying that we know God. We already know God by our experience of God, and God has revealed himself. And so we know what it is that has created everything, and that's God.
So the start is
you start
God who created
that's right.
all existence.
Yes. And instead of picking some aspect of the things to be what hangs them all together, it's God's power that hangs them all together. A while ago I quoted Colossians 1. In Christ all things hang together. And that means there is, for Doerr, there is nothing called the substance of a thing. The core of it, which generates all the rest of its properties and hangs them all together. No, that's the power of God holding every individual thing in existence. So there is at the center of every created entity, a mystery that we can't penetrate. And whenever we take any aspect of our experience and make that the substance of all things, mm-hmm. Then we've replaced God with that.
Now, many people can say, is God some impersonal presence, some impersonal power?
Ooh.
Is God, because somebody might look at that and go, like, well, it's all God.
No, it isn't all God. There are creatures there. There are really creaturely things. They're real. They've been called into existence out of nothing.
Okay.
But they're genuine.
What's an example of that, philosophically?
Well, the best example would be human beings. Human beings are real. They have a center to their existence. The Bible calls their heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's a metaphor for the central self of a human being.
Okay.
And the Bible says, from the heart come all the issues of life. So that's where it's seated all of our capacities, abilities, dispositions, talents, inclinations, and so on.
But the materialists would say, what about us humans then? And difference?
Would say that that's all to be attributed to the brain, to physical brain processes.
Oh, okay.
There are physical neuron firings in the brain, and they are what we experience as concepts, percepts, feelings, beliefs.
And Dr. Dory, with the Christian philosophy, would say, no, the human, the entirety is a creation of God.
Yes, all of this is rooted in the heart of a human being, which is
so the heart.
Yeah. But not the organ that
beats in the
chest,
but the
self.
There's an
selfhood. Yeah, there's a self.
Right.
There. And that self has genuine freedom, mm-hmm. which is why it's responsible for its choices and actions.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the materialist tends to see it all as brain processes, and since we can't control our brain processes, they think the brain processes control us. And the interesting thing is that they get themselves in an impossible dilemma. They come to the conclusion that we have no real freedom. But if we don't, they didn't come to that freely.
Right.
They were compelled to it, and it's not knowledge anymore.
It forces our mind to think, but the deeper you think about it, that's powerful evaluation.
Yeah. This is why denials of free will are self-defeating. If they're correct, then the denial itself wasn't reached freely, and it's not a rational judgment, and it's only what they were compelled to think.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so as you study through ontology, you'll get exposed to a theory of reality. And so what's your theory of reality as you start thinking about philosophy and then think about the Word of God that illuminates our hearts and minds making theories, which you talked about. Again, that's what happened to me when I was a foster major. I started making theories.
Oh, good.
About my walk, theories about the world, but still guided that
that's
God
true.
Holds it all together.
Yeah.
And that's the essence of philosophy.
That's cool. I give extra credit to people who try original work.
There you go. Extra credit for all of you. Good job.